Amen. Please open to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. A lot of folks, when they think about being a Christian, they think, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. But that is the destination. But what about the journey? That's where we are right here, right now. We are in the journey. Studying in the adult Sunday school class on Numbers. And talk about, they didn't take the shortcut. Instead of 11 days, they spent 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I wonder why I'd take a trip that way, would you? But it's the journey. That's what we're going through, the Christian life. And I have learned, if you're going to plan something, you might have this, you might have that, but as long as you're going to have folks, you're going to have food. Some of you knew Jimmy Tharp. And one of the first things I heard Jimmy Tharp say, I know I'm going to like that. Because it's going to be food and there's going to be fellowship. Well, I want to talk about the Christian diet. What is it that we eat? Now, God's a lot smarter than I. And he used Brother King to talk about a supper. And then Brother Dan, in our class, we talked about a lot of things, but part of it, the fact that, you know, the kingdom of God, Romans 14, I think it's verse 17. I believe Brother Jeff quoted that. The kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. It's not flashy clothes and flashy cars and look at me. It's feeding on the Lord. That's why I wanted us to sing this song. Guide, as we go on this journey, bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. I had a great Uncle Andrew. He used to say, after a big meal, anybody that eats as much as I do is a pig. But we should feast on the Word of God. I'm afraid there's a lot of junk food out there for people. They want to fill up on a bunch of fluff. Jesus was tempted. He entered his public ministry. He was baptized and declared to the world. But before he selected his apostles, before he preached that great sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount, he went into the wilderness and he had one visitor. After 40 days, it was old Slipfoot himself, Mr. Devil. And old Lucifer showed up tempting him, challenging him. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, it says he was an hunger. I think that's an understatement. I've never gone 40 days without food. I doubt very many of you have either. But I'm told if you fast, you can go a couple of days and pretty soon you lose the hunger pains. But then down the road, they'll come back with a vengeance. That's when you'd better eat something or that could be the end of you. So we know that we live by food. But that's not all. Jesus is actually quoting scripture when he responds to the devil. You want to have something to say to the devil? Put in scripture. I'm going to take you on. He's going to laugh at you and me. We talked that. So look with me, please. After verse 3, where the tempter challenges him, what was Jesus' response? He answered and said, this is verse 4 of Matthew 4, By the way, if you're in the Gospel of Luke by mistake, it's also pretty close to it, chapter 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Yes, you gotta eat sooner or later. But we don't live only by bread alone. I like that word, so I said it twice there. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said he was quoting, he said it is written. Let me show you where that's written, in Deuteronomy. That's the book that comes right after Numbers, of course. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is Moses talking to the Hebrews. These are the people who went on that journey. Some of them born in the wilderness and traveled all their life. They're wandering around. They've left Egypt. Their parents left Egypt. Some of them born out in the wilderness. Yeah. And they keep hearing about this promised land that they're coming to. And now, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking some 40 years later, basically to the offspring of the generation that came out of Egypt. And there's a lesson for them, and that lesson is for us too. Look at chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, verse 3. There's something, a little snippet of what Moses said about what the Lord did to and for them. And he humbled thee. We talked about the Lord is really smart. He used all these scriptures to kind of add for the message. 1 Peter 5:6, isn't it? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time. What did the Lord do? He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. That wet stuff on the ground that they could pick it up and they could prepare it. It was bread from heaven. The psalmist calls it in the 78th Psalm, angels' food. Men did eat angels' food, it says. That's what it's talking about. Now, this didn't happen with Abraham. This didn't happen with David. But in between those two great ones, we read of Moses and these people who were fed by God, this bread from heaven. God did that to be remembered. Fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. They knew where it came from. God told them, I provided, you eat it. It'll get you through. And they did eat it. And they did get through. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why did God do that? So, well, God worked a miracle. God impressed us. God provided for us. God is good. Yes, but there's something even more important. And I hope we get this message too. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. When Marcia and I were still living in the Memphis area, I got a call back in 1991. And it was a deacon. And he says, our pastor has resigned. I hear that you are such and such and such and such. And I said, yes, yes, that's true. And he says, well, let me be blunt. We're getting hungry. You know, some people, they want a showcase. I read very recently, and was sharing with Marcia, a preacher preached on, you know, we need pulpits, not stages in our church. Because the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, nobody else is the star. It's Christ we lift up. He's the one. If I'm going to be anything like the first man to be called a Baptist, old John said of Jesus, he must increase and I want to be up there with him. No. More about Jesus would I know. He must increase. I must decrease. And so we hear it all the time. I went to a dietitian and I talked to other people and they say, you know, you are what you eat. And we're finding more and more out that there's some things, if you eat them, they're good for your body. They'll sharpen your eye. They'll give you endurance. They'll provide for what you need. And other stuff, it's just filler. It's just junk food. That's why we have to be told by programming. Get this, you know. I was a little kid. I heard Tony the Tigers, and it's great. And mom and dad, it's sugar-coated corn. But it's Tony the Tiger says, that's great. And they had sugar pops. And cocoa, you know, hello, cuckoo for cocoa pops. And folks, it's a bunch of junk. But that's what, and they leave it, they had to, for the nutritious, they said, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yeah, if you leave off the cocoa puffs, it's probably even better for you. But they don't want to mention that because they want to sell that stuff. They want to tell you this is what you want. You need to think this way and help us, and that's how we'll get our pay. I want you to turn, first of all, we talked about Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter, this time chapter 1. And I want you to know that the chapter divisions, with one exception, that all the books in your Bible that are more than one chapter long, all those divisions were put in by folks long after the Lord gave. And so when you get to the end of a chapter, you don't have to stop right there. Sometimes those chapter divisions, they kind of chop where some of us would say maybe they shouldn't have chopped there. So we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, and then forget the fact that there's a chapter 2 after 25. We'll just keep reading, okay? We're going to do that one more time this morning, Lord willing. But this time we're in 1 Peter. So chapter 1, verse 24, and we're going to go all the way through chapter 2, verse 3, because God makes it clear there are two grand distinctions in the Christian diet. Okay? First one is the meat, the milk of the Word. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, get rid of the junk as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye tasted that the Lord is gracious. Paul writes to the Corinthians in the third chapter of his first inspired letter, and he says, I couldn't give you meat. You're babes. You're little guys. You're little shrimps, if you will. You know what? When a baby is born, I don't care what mom's favorite recipe is. I don't care what dad's favorite meal is. You bring that little fella, little gal home from the hospital, and you put steak on the table. They can't handle that. They don't want that. They want milk. There's a reason. God designed that the baby doesn't come with a whole mouthful of teeth. Sometimes they have one or two, but those don't last too long now, do they? But milk indicates that there's a beginner's level. And there is a beginner's level in the Christian life, of course. Those milk lessons, if you will, they are necessary. But a constant diet is not going to bring maturity. You don't want to stay a baby. You know, somebody says, oh, this baby's on the bottle now. All right, great. If he's 17, he's still on the bottle, we got a problem. You need to graduate. You need to push beyond that. Now, some of us might have a favorite restaurant or type of restaurant. Say, well, I like this kind of food or that kind of food. But I don't know too many restaurants. Milk Express. Come get some milk. The waitress comes up. What would you like? Milk. Well, what else do you have? We got milk. Big glass, a little glass. Maybe with a little piece of something, asparagus or broccoli or whatever. What is that? Sassafras, or that green stuff they put on the plate to make it look better. But it's just milk. Most of us adults would say, oh, that's nice, but what's something I can sink my teeth in too? And so we talk about meat. So go back to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 6. Verse 27. Now, the word meat, we tend to think of beef or chicken or pork or fish. And we think of meat, but actually meat, when our Bibles are translated in English, this means your basic meat, the food. It doesn't have to be coming from a cow or coming from a chicken or whatever. It's really anything that you consume. So Jesus says in verse 27 of John 6, labor not for the meat which perisheth. You better eat it now because it's going to get cold, or it's going to get hard, or it's going to get messed up. And it's here today and gone tomorrow. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. You know, I memorized some Bible verses in the 1960s. They're still in there. They're still good. We find coupons. Here's a coupon. We get 2 for 1. Yeah, but that expired 6 months ago. Well, I just can't use it anymore. God's word is like that. It's good. It's valid. God didn't say, this was holy. This, that, and the other. No, God's word speaks to us. Even though, you know, don't take every word literally as if God wrote it just for you. He told Noah to build an ark. We can learn from that. He didn't tell Steve Raines to build an ark, but he did tell Noah. And there are some lessons to be learned. We see the faithfulness of Noah and the provision of God. There's so many things that we can learn. All of God's word, it may not be to you, but it is for you as his child. And you can glean from it. Don't fall into the trap that a lot of moderns have. They say, well, I don't read that Old Testament stuff. I just read the New. Then they read the New, and just like our text, Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You don't read the Old Testament, you wouldn't know where that was written. What was the source? What was the text that Jesus was drawing from? The Old lays it out, and then the New clarifies and makes comparisons. It's like we had in our lesson. Why did all that stuff happen and it's recorded in the Old Testament? Paul told the Corinthians, this stuff happened as a lesson for you to learn. Like, was it your coach used to say, don't learn from your own mistakes, learn from other people's mistakes. We can learn from the mistakes of people like Aaron. You know, we hear some stupid questions sometimes, but Aaron probably gave the stupidest answer. We talked about that in Sunday school too. The people put the gold in the pot and this cow came out. Imagine that! I imagine the look that Moses gave to his big brother like, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. We need to know some things. Meat, all the staples that we partake of. In Matthew 3:4, it says that John's meat was locusts and honey. You might say your steak and potatoes. What you want to sink your teeth into. And so for the balance of this message, I want us to, for a source, go to the book of Hebrews. And again, we start one chapter and just keep on reading. We'll start in chapter 5 at verse 11. And then just forget that break at the end of 14 and keep reading. So from 5:11, we'll read through to chapter 6 and verse 3. All right? Because it tells us, yes, there's milk, and yes, there's meat. There's a world of difference between them. They're both necessary. And if you're only able to handle milk, well, at least get some milk. But as soon as you can make that transition and go to the meat. All right, let's read. Hebrews, starting at chapter 5, verse 11. Of which we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Sometimes it's not the speaker, but it's the listener. Sometimes not. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, they've been under the preaching of the word a long time. And they were still in the kindergarten stage. No offense, but, you know, kindergarten's important.
But if I'm 37 years old and I'm still in the kindergarten,
aren't you going to graduate? Well, sometimes spiritual that happens. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. You know, an oracle is one who says, the word of the Lord. And you listen. And it's to sink in. It's to change the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. Some people, it's in one ear and out the other. There are people, for example, they can be under the preaching of the doctrines of grace for years and years and years. And then they get out of that environment. They don't miss it. And I believe in the Trinity. I don't preach on the Trinity every sermon, but it undergirds what I believe and what I practice. But if I never mention the Trinity, and you don't think about the Trinity, and you don't read or address the fact that there is a three in oneness to our great God, and someday, hello, we're from the friendly, whatchamacallit, and we want to talk to you about the Bible. You like to read the Bible, don't you? And you know what the Bible says, don't you? Do you ever... And they like to attack the Trinity. Do you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? Oh, yeah. Where is that taught in the Bible? Oh, no. Well, do you think it is? I think so. But did you hear the word? Go get your Strong's Concordance. You're going to be strong. Get your Strong's Concordance. Now, find me the word Trinity in your Bible. It's not in there. Maybe the idea isn't there either. You ever think about that? Now, we can explain the way more perfectly to you. I had a guy tell me that once, and I said, you know, I think you go to the Kingdom Hall, don't you? Why, yes. How come I don't see the Kingdom Hall in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Well, I think I got to do something about that. Just because the word isn't there, I got news for you folks. None of these English words were in the original Bible. Because the Lord didn't get it in English. I don't care what Charlton Heston said in the movies. God did not speak in English. But it's provided for us, so we don't have to learn Hebrew, Greek, and other cognate thoughts there. But sometimes people are just babes in Christ. And have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
How's your scripture memorization coming? Pretty good. I got Genesis 1:1 down. And John 3:16. What's good for a start. And I'm working on John 11:35. You know, that's a tough one. Yeah, Jesus wept. That's hard to remember there. But when you quote other passages, some people don't even know there's such a book. Years ago, somebody close to me said, what do you preach on Sunday? And I said, death of the pot. What? Yeah, death of the pot. You know, that prophet, he came to where the young preachers, and they cooked him up a stew, and some doofus got some plant they shouldn't have, and they put it in the pot and messed it up and made it poisonous. Did you make that up? No, it's right there in the Bible. You know, if I told you the Bible says beware of dogs, would you believe it? You would, wouldn't you, John? When you see it with your own eyes, it's in the book. It's in the book. And if God's word is strangely strange to us, don't blame the preacher. Look at the person in the mirror and say, why don't I know about that? Part of my task is to prompt you to go to the Word. Check it out. Make sure I'm not pulling your leg about something, because this is important. Straw meat belongs to them that are full age. You get around some people, and sometimes if you just use the buzzwords, they don't even know what you're talking about. I'm talking way over their head. But then when they find out, you know, I mentioned this morning that there's a group of people, they think they have some special hidden knowledge. They think they know what that outer darkness is. And they think they've got a corner on some truth. Well, we need to know what is so, what God has said. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You put your teeth into something and say, now this is a great steak. These are some great victuals you got here. Boy, this fruit is fresh. These vegetables are so tasty. And then sometimes you bite and say, oh man, this is nasty. I feel like I'm eating a plate full of ashes or something. I can't keep this stuff down. Well, spiritually, you should have some discernment. If I got up here and gave you a bunch of hooey, you ought to say, I'm not going to say amen, I'm going to say, oh me. Oh, and something's going to feed my soul, preacher. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, not that we forget, but it's we can advance. There is such a thing as promotion. A young lady I first met when she was third or fourth grade, Marcia reminded me, she's got a birthday coming up. Was she 29? No, she's about 43. She's got children of her own. Kids that we taught are now graduating, some from high school and some even from college. They don't stay itty bitty. They grow, and that means they go on. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That means you need to grow up. You need to be mature in the faith, not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works. A friend of mine went to seminary in Little Rock, and he said the first day of class, one fellow got up there and he says, now, you preacher, you need to get English, so let me give you some English. First thing you need to learn is a noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. Say it with me. So the whole class, all the grown men said, a noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. He says, we were there for 3 years. And when we got our diplomas, there were some of those guys in that class after 3 years. They couldn't even finish the sentence. A noun is. They want to learn what they wanted to learn, what they thought they needed to learn, I guess. But we need to go on to perfection. And he talks about going on, of course,
We talk about repentance from dead works, faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. My God gave you those teeth so you can sink them into the spiritual meat of the Word. So you got milk, you got meat. 10 thoughts. Meat is not for the babies. We got some of these little gals and little fellas, and you said, boys, this caramel, it's real chewy. Don't put it in the little baby's mouth. This steak is kind of tough. Don't put that. What they have, what they need is the milk. Just make an infant gag. You'd be endangering them. Meat is a lot more costly than milk. I mean, when I was a little kid, I'd hear Mom say, oh, look at that. Steak is $1 a pound. And I thought, yeah, but then I got to think later, when I got older, takes a few pounds, and then there's other things you're paying for, too. So it all adds up. So 29 cents here and $1.15 there, it all adds up, and you have to budget some of these things. I tell you what, you could have Bessie, your cow, and she gives milk, and she gives milk, and she gives milk. When it's time to have a beefsteak, she can only give that once. And that does it. If she's dead and gone, you don't have the milk or the meat anymore. Spiritually, time, effort, energy, if you're going to study God's Word. Now, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but if the only Bible reading you ever hear is in this building, that's not good. You, child of God. Well, I'm not old enough. Can you read the box of the Cracker Jacks or the Corn Flakes or whatever? I mean, you don't have to have a huge library, but God gave you the best right here. Read some of God's Word. You know, if you read 5 Psalms a day, you get through the whole book of Psalms in a month. If you read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you get through the whole Bible in a year. People talk about 2020. What a rugged year. Oh, that COVID, all this, all that. Yeah, what'd you do with that extra time? Most people put on pounds. Somebody had a little picture of Little Debbie before COVID, and then after COVID, Little Debbie, and then not so Little Debbie. It happens. Well, the pastor of the church that sponsored the Christian school from which I graduated, he said, young people, I may be chubby, but it's because I like to have a little something to nibble on while I'm studying the scriptures. Well, he sure was studying the scriptures a lot because he put on the pounds. It costs when it comes to time, digging for the meat. You know, I've bought a lot of books in my day, and Marcia says amen, and it's true. And a lot of times I find out, I've already got this in some of my other books. But they advertise it. This will help you cut some corners. This will help you understand. Sometimes their understanding, again, you open the Word because this is the final Word. This is where God has spoken authoritatively. It also costs concerning the popularity of the preacher. If the preacher just has 3 or 4 little hobby horses, and those are the only kind of sermons you hear, the only texts you know, you might know those very well, but that's all. You know, Paul did say, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. We are to declare, as Paul told one group, he said, I'm about to leave, but I want you to remember, I gave you all the counsel of God. I did not, like Brother Lindy Davis likes to say, observe the Passover on that. You say, what do you think about, oh, I don't know about that. What do you think about, oh, I have no opinion on that. What if we looked at you know, there's definitely an intensive study of this book. But let's go to, let's read the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm is great. Brother Josh read it this morning, and that's great. I've had young preachers say, "Preacher, I'm been asked to go to a church, and do you have any recommendations?" And I said, "Preach the 23rd Psalm. It never gets old."
Amen.
And the people that have heard it the most are going to love it the most. You just about can't, well, I'm sure you could if you really tried, but you almost can't botch the 23rd Psalm. There's something in there as a blessing. You can't get that reading off the back box of cornflakes. Even if Tony the Tiger says they're great, they're not so great. The box ain't so good either. But meat is a lot more costly, physically and spiritually. Meat has to be cooked or prepared. Now, a city boy. You probably figured that out already if I hadn't told you. I grew up in Castro Valley, California. A little hick town of 53,000. Didn't even have its own police department. Believe that? We had the county sheriff. But I went to school summer of 72 in Ashland, Oregon, a town not much larger than me. In the country. A lot of Oregon was actually settled by people who moved from Arkansas and Missouri. And so I went into a country store. And the guy with me says, "Hey, look, they got raw milk." Raw milk. I'm thinking, Mom never cooked milk, as far as I know. What's raw milk? Well, it hadn't been pasteurized or homogenized. It's just like when it came from the cow. Really? You've never had raw milk, have you? Anybody here never had raw milk? Okay, well, then I'm filling in on something here right now. I was a little bit, what, is it going to make me sick? Well, what's going to happen? And so I drank it, and I didn't die. It tasted pretty good. I noticed that there was some thick stuff at the top, and there was some thinner stuff at the bottom. And so my buddies, well, that stuff on the top, that's cream. You mean like you buy in the store? Well, where do you think the store gets it? Oh, yeah. Had a lot to learn then. Still have a lot to learn, but not quite as much back today than I did back then. So I called my mom. I was excited. "Mom, I've been up here in Oregon a week. I had some raw milk." She grew up in a little town in Oklahoma called Mountain View. I think she knew what raw milk was, but it was like she was, I could feel the fact she was horrified on the phone. "Stephen, raw milk, you might get rickets." "What?" Well, "if it isn't enriched with vitamin D, if it hasn't been homogenized." You know, she let me know she's praying for me because I was up in the backwoods of Oregon. Drinking raw milk. I do believe a time or two going over, when we moved back to the Sacramento area, Marcia's parents, they had a deal with somebody who had a cow, and they just go to the side of the house and get a gallon of raw milk. You can drink milk in the raw and live to tell about it. Not going to make you sick or anything like that. Now, you kill a cow and just eat the meat raw, that's a different story. Don't do that. We went in a Chinese restaurant and they said, "This food over here is made to be eaten raw. And then this food is meant to be cooked. Don't take this stuff and don't cook it. Then take it back to your seat and eat that stuff up." You'll live to regret it if you live. It's important. Milk can be taken in raw. Little or no preparation. You know, I've seen the kitty, you know, somebody's milking the cow and the kitty gets some milk straight from the cow. Didn't even have to take it out of a bowl or anything else. But it's worthwhile to prepare the meat in the best possible way. Rather than take it in raw, there are a few exceptions, but you know, if the meat is underdone, that's not so good. If it's overdone, that's not so good. But I like it just right, don't you? Whatever. If you say, I want my steak medium rare, they cook it that way. I want my medium well. Okay, they cook it that way. If you like it one way and it's cooked another way, you ordered, you paid for, but what you're getting, well, so there's a big difference between milk and meat. Now, meat is harder to be ingested and digested. You gotta chew it up. If you don't have any teeth, it's kind of hard. I talked to one fellow who said, I take my meals, even though I don't have any teeth, and he'd go into the dairy section, and he'd get instant breakfast, and he'd get Ensure, and he'd get all these things. See, I got my meal out of a bottle. It had protein, and carbohydrates, it had flavors, even comes with chocolate and other flavors, but you don't need any teeth to enjoy those things. It's almost as if I had teeth. Well, that's what they're using to compare it. I mean, it's a lot harder to be ingested and to be digested. Meat tends to be tough, tends to make you tough. When Paul went through basic training in the Marine Corps, I don't think they served him a lot of Cocoa Puffs. I don't think they served him a lot of, you know, just mush. No, something that's got some fiber to it, something that's going to give you some calories. And meat is what identifies the partaker as mature. The baby doesn't get the steak. You go to a restaurant, mama's there, and she's got little Junior, little Sally Sue, and they say, let's see, you want this. And for the baby, we're going to bring a steak for the baby. Maybe dad, send a steak for the baby. I'll help him out a little bit on that. But no, the baby gets the milk, and that's it. Now, the person who partakes of meat had at one time to partake of the milk, but not vice versa. Milk has a special concentration. It's provided by God. It is designed by God to give the baby what the baby needs. But the baby doesn't have any teeth, so what it takes in, it drinks that in, and it blesses it. So milk has its place to bring the partaker to the point where the meat may be assimilated as God has designed. It's like talking about plants. The Lord said, first the blade, then the ear. There's a progression. There's a reason why. I mean, the things we talk about in an adult Sunday school class, you're not going to, the people that teach the little ones, you know, say, now boys and girls, you all know the difference between irresistible grace and the security of the believer, right? And, what? What? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, so we put the cookies on the bottom shelf, so to speak. We understand that people are at different points. But meat requires some work on the behalf of a partaker. I've never had anybody serve me milk and say, by the way, use your knife, use your fork. No, I'll use my cup, I'll use a spoon maybe, but I don't need a knife. If you serve milk and people have to use a knife and a fork on it, please don't put that on my plate. And I don't think you'd appreciate that too much either. Some work is involved, but taking that strong meat. And finally, there's a big diversification in meats. If you eat pork, it has its taste. If you eat beef, it has its taste. You eat lamb, but it doesn't really taste like pork. It really doesn't taste like beef, but it has its own taste, and you can acquire a taste for that. Meats are varied, and we change with our tastes, and they have different protein values, but they are distinguishable. Now, if you're a child of God, the Lord was quoting Deuteronomy. But he reminded what is written down Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need, I need God's word. We enjoy music, yes. We enjoy fellowship, yes. We enjoy opportunities to be with fellow Christians. But even if you're all alone, you have God's word, meat on the table. Now, if you're not a child of God, Jesus compared his word to bread. When he saw the woman at the well, she offered him water, and he says, I've got something to drink you don't want to think about. When you're talking to maybe a family member or a neighbor or somebody you work with, or just somebody you're talking to, we're encouraged to talk to people about the Lord. And so he said, what do you people do on Sunday? And you go in there and somebody told me, somebody yells at you and tells you to be good and don't be bad. And that's what church is all about. Well, I'd call that an oversimplification, but we rejoice in the opportunity to learn more and to be encouraged to be what God has called us to be. But just coming to church doesn't make you saved. Any more than going to McDonald's makes you a french fry. Might eat a few french fries, but you don't become a french fry just by showing up. The food that you need. If you're a lost person today, you need that eternal bread. And on one occasion, Jesus said, your fathers ate that manna in the wilderness. You know what happened to them? They died. I am the bread of life, he said. You eat of me, and you'll never die. If you heard our conference last September, you heard John Green stand in this pulpit and say, I'm going to talk about spiritual cannibalism. Cannibalism? That's unmeasured. How dare you talk about such a thing in the pulpit? But he preached from John 6, what Jesus was talking about. He said, except you eat my flesh, you cannot be my disciple. We need to, because we are what we eat. If you have no stomach for the things of God, that's not a good sign. We should be, as we sang in that song, bread of heaven, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want. Don't.